You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area is talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
When this year ends, the mayors of two of the Bay Area's largest cities, Oakland and San Jose, will be terming out of office. Today in the program, we discuss the elections that'll decide who's going to replace them. Welcome to KCBS In-Depth, your weekly deep dive into the events and trends shaping life in the Bay Area and beyond. I'm Keith Manconi. Well, with the November election just a month away, we're now entering the home stretch of campaign season. So, we're going to check in on the mayoral races in both San Jose and Oakland to see how these hotly contested elections are shaping up.
People are seeing it as an opportunity to forge a new path.
The plan for today is simple. We've got two elections to catch up on and two reporters who have been covering those races who are going to join us in a little bit to bring us all up to speed. And whether or not you actually live in Oakland or San Jose, these are races worth watching because the challenges that these cities are grappling with, housing affordability, homelessness, crime, they are the same set of challenges facing just about every city in the Bay Area. So whoever ends up becoming mayor in these cities will go on to play a big role in defining the shape of local politics throughout the region for years to come. So with all that in mind, we're going to start out in Oakland, where longtime Mayor Libby Schaaf is terming out after 8 years in office. Her impending departure has attracted a crowded field of candidates hoping to replace her, but in recent weeks, some clear frontrunners have emerged. To tell us about it, we're going to welcome on our first guest for the program, San Francisco Chronicle reporter Sarah Ravani, who covers Oakland and the East Bay for the paper. Sarah Ravani, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So let's draw out the contours of the political landscape that this election is playing out upon. After 8 years with Schaaf, how is Oakland feeling as she gets ready to head for the door?
Well, people are frustrated with the state of the city, which isn't exactly unusual when a political leader is leaving office after serving their full term. She's been the mayor for 8 years and has accomplished a lot during her tenure. But at the same time, there are a lot of people who are eager for change. There was an Oakland Chamber of Commerce poll that was taken last fall that found 64% of likely voters said the city is on the wrong track. Homelessness has increased over the past 3 years by 24%. And before that, Oakland had one of the highest Bay Area increases in homelessness in 2019 by more than 40%. Violent crime is also increasing. Oakland reported a record number of homicides last year, 124, which was the highest toll it had reported since 2012. And it looks like the city could reach a similar level this year. In addition, people are frustrated with illegal dumping, trash on the streets. So there's a lot going on that's going to impact this race.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like the story of this election cycle in Oakland and in much of the rest of the Bay Area is going to be frustration, these calls for change. Let's talk about now who is taking up those calls. Who are the candidates who are stepping in to offer some vision of change? There are actually 10 in total in Oakland, but it seems like the major endorsements at this point are all going towards just two of them.
Yes. So like you said, there are 10 candidates. They include politicians, current council members, former school board members, community activists, and the two candidates that have kind of emerged as the leaders of the race because they've raised the most money are Lauren Taylor and Sheng Tao. They are both sitting council members in their first terms who are giving up their seats to run. Another council member who is running is Trevor Reed, who was elected to the council in 2020 to take over the seat her father held in East Oakland. And then we have Ignacio de la Fuente. He was a council member serving the Fruitvale area from 1992 to 2013.
All right. So for anybody who is not living in Oakland and is not following these politics closely, how should we think about Sheng Tao and Lauren Taylor? What kinds of political coalitions are they drawing together?
Yeah. Well, we've seen the unions, which are a pretty powerful force in Oakland, unequivocally back Tao. She's also secured an endorsement from the Alameda County Democratic Party, which is a big deal. And then we've seen Mayor Libby Schaaf, Mayor London Breed in San Francisco, and San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo, former Stockton Mayor Michael Tubbs, they're all backing Lauren Taylor. He's kind of secured the establishment endorsement. You know, before the endorsements really kicked in, we had seen some internal polls that showed voters were still undecided. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how this plays out.
And Sheng Tao, Lauren Taylor, are these two well-known figures in Oakland politics?
Lauren Taylor and Sheng Tao are council members. They're well-known within their districts, but these endorsements will really help because it'll give them better name recognition citywide with people who may not follow, you know, local Oakland politics as closely as some others do.
All right. Just going to reintroduce you real quick. Speaking once again to San Francisco Chronicle reporter Sarah Vani. She covers Oakland and the East Bay, telling us a little bit about how the race for Oakland's mayor is shaping up at the moment. So as you mentioned, there is just a bevy of issues that these whoever takes this office is going to be facing on day one. Let's talk about how some of those issues are being discussed through the course of this election, maybe starting with crime, hot button issue in Oakland as it is elsewhere in the Bay Area. What are the dividing lines between these candidates on the question of crime, the forms of crime that are rising in Oakland, and how to deal with it? You know, what should be done with the police force?
That has definitely been a big question. How many police officers should the Oakland Police Department have? You have candidates who say the police department should have 900 officers. They have about 680 right now. And then you have some candidates who say we should have, you know, 752 officers, which is what they're budgeted for. All the candidates are pretty clear about where they stand. They think the police department should staff up. They want to invest more in violence prevention. You have some candidates like Ignacio de la Fuente who say they're going to give, you know, unbridled support to the police department. You have candidates like Seneca Scott, who's a community activist, who says he wants to go through all the city departments and make cuts, kind of trim the fat, so to say, to give more funds to the police department. And then you have Lauren Taylor and Sheng Tao, who want to support the police department, say they support the police department while also investing in prevention. Sheng Tao has been very vocal about investing in more job training centers, you know, doing more to address some of the root causes of crime. So it's definitely a hot topic issue. People are incredibly worried in Oakland. We've had a week here just a couple weeks ago where there were 8 homicides in just 7 days.
Yeah, definitely high on the minds of a lot of folks. And it sounds like the defund the police call really isn't even in the political landscape on the spectrum at this point. I've actually spoken with Lauren Taylor previously on this program about his position, and he was trying to find that middle ground where, from his view, there is not a contradiction between supporting the police and supporting some of those other social services that prevent crime that you were referencing there. Is that middle ground, do you feel like something that's going to resonate with voters or, you know, some of the more further right positions of doing whatever we can to staff up police? Is that more the mood that Oakland is in at this point?
Well, I think we need to be really clear. Oakland never defunded their police department. And so I think right now there are a lot of feelings around this issue. There are people who really advocate for investing more in the social programs, addressing root causes. And then there are people who are really frightened by what they're seeing kind of happen in their neighborhoods and on the streets. So I think, you know, the candidate that can kind of tread that balance and that line, that's what people are looking for.
Yeah. All right. So let's go on to another hot button issue, homelessness and housing. What are we hearing from the candidates on that front?
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that Shengtao has proposed is creating an enhanced infrastructure financing district over the city that would essentially take property tax and put it toward affordable housing. So she wants to create something that would capture property tax over 5 years, and that property tax would then go toward funding more affordable housing projects. Shengtao and Lauren Taylor have been very vocal about the need for more affordable housing in Oakland. Oakland is very behind on its affordable housing goals. But there are also candidates like Ignacio de la Fuente who say affordable housing is not a priority of his. His priority is really addressing crime and the increase of encampments throughout the city. So it'll be interesting to see how voters respond to that.
Yeah. So it definitely does seem like there is a little bit of a spectrum in terms of how the candidates are thinking about that particular issue. And then there is the issue that is unique to Oakland, the what is to be done about the Oakland A's and their plan to build a waterfront stadium at the Port of Oakland. How are the candidates staking out their ground on that one?
What's been interesting is that the mayoral forums that I have been to this year, the A's ballpark has not been a question that's been asked of the candidates. Regardless of that, whoever becomes mayor next year is going to have to, you know, lead the city in terms of what they'll do with the A's and the waterfront ballpark. You know, there was a lot of momentum and a lot of pressure and a lot of hope that the A's and the city would come to an agreement this year, that this current city council and this current mayor would have a final vote on a package, on a development, you know, agreement between the two sides. But that hasn't happened yet. So it's likely that it'll go to the next administration. So it's going to be a really big issue for whoever takes the role. And I've heard from candidates like Shengtao who have said, you know, she'll support a deal if there are backstops, that it doesn't jeopardize the city's general fund. She wants to make sure the city is protected. And I think all the candidates pretty much feel that way. Lauren Taylor also feels that way, that he wants to make sure it's a good deal for the city. And then there are some candidates, you know, like Greg Hodge, who is a former school board member who doesn't support the A's ballpark.
Yeah. So there, again, a spectrum. And I guess one of the things that that speaks to really is just the fact that there are so many issues that are going to face whoever is leading Oakland in the years ahead. And really, this is going to test whoever takes that office.
Yeah, this race is a huge deal. Oakland is grappling with some really big issues that is playing out region wide. You know, we talked about homelessness, and then we talked about violent crime. On top of that, you've got a police department that entered a probationary period this year to end their, you know, court-mandated federal monitor. That's a huge deal, and it will be the next mayor's responsibility, as well as the police chief, to ensure they're able to come out of that federal oversight. So there's a lot at stake here.
All right. Well, a lot at stake and a lot still to be determined as we head towards election night. Giving us this look has been San Francisco Chronicle reporter Sarah Ravani, who once again covers Oakland and the East Bay. Sarah Ravani, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is KCBS In Depth, your weekly deep dive into the events and trends shaping life in the Bay Area and beyond. I'm Keith Menconi. Today in the program, we're taking a closer look at the elections that'll decide who will become the next mayors of Oakland and San Jose. We just heard how things are shaping up in Oakland. Up next, we're going to head to the South Bay and dive into the race in San Jose. To break it down for us, we're going to welcome on now Jenna Cotta, a reporter with San Jose Spotlight covering City Hall. Jenna, welcome to KCBS In Depth.
Thanks for having me.
So once again, we have another longtime mayor terming out, San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo in this case. But over here in San Jose, the primary has already narrowed things down to the top two contenders. Here we're talking about Matt Mahan and Cindy Chavez. And we'll get to know the candidates more in just a second. But first, Jenna, what's the mood of the city as Election Day approaches? In Oakland's race, we just heard a lot about voter frustration and concern over the problems of crime and homelessness. Are we seeing a similar story play out in San Jose?
Certainly. I mean, those are the big two talking points that we're hearing from our mayoral candidates and the concerns that we're hearing from residents. And so, you know, when you look at Mayor Liccardo's 8 years as mayor, he even admits that his biggest failure is the homelessness issue. We've seen it skyrocket despite all of these efforts, these interim housing sites, you know, homelessness still increases. So I would say that's the biggest issue here in San Jose.
Yeah, so definitely some consistent themes throughout the Bay Area. And let's meet the candidates who say that they have the answers. Matt Mahan, Cindy Chavez, who are they? Who are their backers?
Yeah, so we've got Matt Mahan, who is a relatively newcomer to politics. Before winning his seat on the city council in 2020, he worked at two civic engagement startups. He was also on the executive board of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group. And he's got the backing of more of the business coalition in San Jose. So the Silicon Valley Biz Pack, this new pack formed by Mayor Sam Liccardo, who stepped down, and his chief of staff, Jim Reed, which is called Common Good, and a couple of other developers and millionaires, billionaires. On the other side, we have Cindy Chavez. She is a county supervisor serving since 2013. She was on the city council from 1996 to 2006. And she was the head of the South Bay Labor Council, which represents more than 100,000 union members in the region. So she is the labor candidate. And she's got backing from a lot of the labor PACs and groups. But she's also got support from a lot of unexpected people and groups. For example, she's seen $400,000 from the 49ers in special interest funds for TV ads. She's got the support of Carl Gardino, who's one of Liccardo's best friends. She's also got the support of all of the city council, except for Liccardo and Mahan, which is really interesting because she's been able to snag some business-leaning city council candidates.
Yeah, so this is an interesting race because, as you're kind of alluding to right there, the traditional divide in San Jose politics is between pro-labor camp and the pro-business camp. But this mayor's race really does seem to be scrambling that up a little bit with, as you said, Cindy Chavez getting support from both sides. Now, another dynamic to all of this at the same time is the fact that Cindy Chavez has been around an awful lot longer than Matt Mahan. And that's opened up this other dimension to the race where, on the one hand, you might have what you could consider the establishment candidate, Cindy Chavez, who has been in local politics for years and years and years, currently a county supervisor, but before that was a city council member in San Jose. So a well-known face. Matt Mahan, a relative newcomer. How is that dimension of having the newcomer versus the establishment candidate, how is that playing out in this election?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what they each point to as their strengths and their opponent's weaknesses. Chavez points to her years of experience in government and other local organizations as a strength because she's able to work together with different groups, people from different political spectrums, and make things happen. And Mahan will say, well, we're seeing the effect of your leadership, and it's not good enough. And the people who feel the same way or feel that the government isn't working for them tend to feel a little bit more sympathetic to his message. And he's saying, I'm coming in with new ideas, a new perspective to hold City Hall accountable. So you should vote for me because I haven't been playing that game. I'm not sucked into the establishment.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. And I've spoken to Larry Gersten, a local political scientist, who said it's sort of an open question which one of those messages is going to resonate more. Is this a change election where people really are looking for that change? And Matt Mahan may be seen as the person who can deliver that, or are they looking for that steady hand and that familiar face? So we're certainly going to learn a lot more as we approach Election Day. Speaking once again to Jenna Kedah, a reporter with San Jose Spotlight. She's covering City Hall and breaking down the San Jose mayor's race. Well, as we approach it, we're right now about a month away from Election Day. So really in the home stretch at this point. And I guess another element of this race that is worth reflecting on is just the massive amount of money that has been spent on it. This is a record-breaking race at this point?
Yes, certainly, especially in special interest money. So we, to date, we've seen $2.4 million spent in special interest money, and the candidates collectively have raised $1.7 million. So that's about more than $4 million in this race, which is staggering. And so we've seen some crazy numbers from unexpected players. I mentioned this earlier. I mean, the 49ers coming into the San Jose mayoral race is pretty interesting. In these last 3 months, they spent $420,000 to support Cindy Chavez in TV ads. We're also seeing big spending from, you know, South Bay Labor Council. We are also seeing notable spending from, you know, the newly formed PAC, Common Good, which, you know, it's not matching up necessarily to the 49ers. It's not the same. But what's notable is that it's coming from Liccardo's office in a sense, right? Liccardo helped start it. Now he's stepped down. Jim Reed is the one who's leading it. But I mean, to be clear, the lion's share of special interest funding is in support of Chavez.
Yeah. Overall spending seems like they're roughly evenly matched. I think in overall spending, maybe Matt Mahan is outpacing Cindy Chavez just a hair, correct?
In their own fundraising for their campaigns, he's about $100,000. He's raised about $100,000 more than her. And he points to that as a point of pride, saying that, you know, we've seen smaller donations. We've seen more donations from San Jose.
Well, it's a very interesting dynamic, and we're going to have to see what it all amounts to. I guess let's get away from the horse race of it all for a second and dive into the actual policy measures. We've alluded to some of the top campaign issues a little bit earlier, but let's talk a little bit more about how they're playing out. First of all, housing and homelessness. How are the candidates positioning themselves on this issue?
Yeah, what's interesting is they don't tend to be that different in what the solution is. More housing, right? Chavez points to her ability to work with different groups to bring these interim housing sites, these long-term affordable housing sites to fruition, and says she's willing to work along the political spectrum, right, to get these things done. Mahan is more of the person who is looking at City Hall and saying, we're not spending our money wisely. We need to invest more in interim housing solutions because it's cheaper. We need to figure out how to make it cheaper. And so I'm going to be that accountability candidate who uses metrics and data to figure out where things are going wrong. And so that seems to be the difference between them.
All right. Interesting. So it seems here we are talking about differences in approaches, but still very similar goals when it comes to housing and homelessness. On to the other hot button issue, the issue of law and order, and most especially what to do about the police force. Now, interestingly, in San Jose, police staffing has been seen as a problem, understaffing, that is, for quite a long time. Mayor Sam Liccardo has been bemoaning the relatively low staffing compared to other big cities in America for many years now, never gave much lip service at all to the defund the police movement, really at any point, even at the height of protests in 2020. We have here two candidates that both, share the goal of growing the police force. How are they saying that they want to do that? And what is the broader vision that they're bringing here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you said it perfectly. There is no discussion of defunding the police. In fact, they want to invest more and more and staff up the San Jose Police Department. For Chavez is positioning herself up as the police candidate. She's gotten the backing of the San Jose Police Union and other notable leaders there. And she says that the city needs to look at SJPD's overtime and allocate that money toward recruiting officers. And she really wants to focus on officers who represent the community, particularly more women officers. Mahan agrees that the city needs to staff up with its police force. But the problem is that SJPD is not retaining officers. And so the city needs to be more competitive with pay. It is worth noting, though, that most, if you look at the top 10 highest paid employees in San Jose, I think 7 of them are police officers. So but they are still leaving San Jose and going to other cities where they make more money, or they have more police on staff, so they don't have to do as much work.
Huh. So it's a kind of a vicious cycle in a way.
Yeah.
Interesting. So there again, there is some overlap between these two candidates, at least in terms of the goals that they say they're pushing towards for the city. And it kind of echoes our last conversation in Oakland, where, broadly speaking, the frontrunner candidates seem to agree on the major challenges that are facing the city. The disagreements come down more to what exactly is to be done in response. But still, despite these areas of overlap, here in San Jose, the stakes of this election seem to be very high. I mean, look no further than the record spending that we've been discussing throughout this conversation. So to close out, Jenna Cotta, with the spotlight again, maybe you could speak to that sense of urgency about this election. You know, why is this seen as such a pivotal race?
I think people are seeing it as an opportunity to forge a new path, right? And this is in two different ways. We've had a business-leaning mayor for 8 years. Chavez is the labor candidate. So maybe this is an opportunity to change paths and focus a little bit more on labor issues. At the same time, Chavez has been in politics for over 20 years. Mahan has been in politics for 2 years. So this is a path to potentially, you know, this is an opportunity to change course and go with the newcomer. And we're also at a time coming out of COVID where we're seeing a lot of economic distress, potentially heading into a recession. People are barely able to afford living here. I mean, the wealth inequality is huge in San Jose. And this is an important race for them as well. I mean, it's their future. Are they going to stay in San Jose? We're seeing reports that more people are leaving San Jose than ever before because they simply can't afford it. So we're at a time where people are really looking at their city or their local government to help give them that support to get back on their feet. And they're deciding who's best to get them there.
All right. Well, I think that sums it all up pretty well, and we're going to leave it right there. We have been speaking one last time to Jenna Cotta. She's a reporter with San Jose Spotlight covering City Hall. Jenna Cotta, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you all for listening. For KCBS and In Depth, I'm Keith Manconi. Stay safe. Be well. Talk again next week.
Listening to KCBS In Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.